joined now by former traffic police officer John Scrooby, who joins us, now trustee of a charity called, I think it's pronounced Scared or Scarred, John?
It's Scarred.
Thank you. Support and Care After Road Death and Injury. John, you wouldn't believe, you probably would actually believe, the phone book of texts that I've received in this tonight from all over the UK. As somebody who's worked this as a traffic police officer, in your opinion, from what you've seen, how commonplace is it up and down the nation?
It's quite commonplace now, Colin, and it's not a new problem. It's been a problem that's been rising over the past few decades.
Is it a bit, John, like, I suppose the illegal raves were back in the late 80s when I was getting into my teens, and it sort of it was like, here's where the bus is. You know, you turn up and you go there, and you're kind of always one step ahead of the authorities. I'd imagine, this doesn't have a garage, or it doesn't have a permanent meeting place. So I suppose it's quite easy with modern technology to set these up and to move them about the towns and the cities.
It's quite easy today, especially with the social media that's in place now. But what these guys and girls have got to realise is that even retail spaces, car parks, they are public places. They're classed as a road. And there's a time and a place for racing about, and it's not on the roads of the UK.
Why do you think it is? Is it as straightforward as drawing a link to the Fast and Furious film franchise?
Yeah, I spent quite a few years after retirement speaking to young and novice drivers. And the Fast and Furious, the video games like Forza and GTA, always came up to mind. Did Paul Walker, the star of the Fast and Furious films, he died in a car crash. The driver was a qualified F1 driver who got it wrong. What these people are going to realise is the difference between reality and film. I mean, people who make these films insure these drivers for millions and millions of pounds. They are not going to risk them, getting injured or killed in these films. And it's time to sort of separate the reality from fiction. When you're driving behind the wheel of a car, you haven't got a reset button on that steering wheel. You may have it when you're playing your Forza games or whatever, yet you haven't got it in real life. I spent, as I say, decades speaking to younger drivers, and it's just amazing how they don't seem to realise the difference between reality and this fiction.
It's not always younger drivers, but it must be the vast majority. That fearlessness that we have when we're younger, that it won't happen to us.
I think it's that sense of it's oblivious to the consequences of it. Unfortunately, when it happens, it's too late.
Yeah.
It's happened, and as I said, I spent quite a few years talking about what we call the fatal four to younger drivers. The fatal four being speed, distraction, seatbelts, and drug driving. There's so many oblivious to the consequences of it. I cast my mind back to the time, sort of late 90s, when I was a serving police officer in Sheffield, and I dealt with an incident. I was an FLO at the time, a family liaison officer, caught a crash on the A61 Halifax Road. A local woman took a friend for a day out to York. She dropped her off. She was turning right. It was less than a quarter of a mile from her home across the dual carriageway. She was T-boned by a young driver who was doing 80 plus in a 40, racing his mate who drove past the scene and lugged him along. I then had that lonely walk up the driveway to inform that woman's daughter that she wasn't coming home. Who wants to be the person that starts off that chain of events that leads to an incident like that?
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. I mean, it is about, I think, primarily the safety of others. If you're going to indulge in this idiocy, it's everyone around you becomes a possible victim. And the text that we're getting in, I'll run through these, John, if you can bear with me. Interactive show we have here. And I asked the audience, you know, is this isolated to sort of London, Manchester, you know? Is this something we're seeing everywhere? So John in Eastbourne's message then, he said, absolutely constant here. Liz says, when I lived in Birmingham, this racing was commonplace in certain areas of the city. You'd actually see groups, usually young lads, they'd meet up at the local petrol station, and then they'd be racing off to a location a couple of miles away to road race. I'm not sure why it isn't stopped. Then we go to Telford and Shrewsbury meetups. Street racing happens all over the place, organising on WhatsApp groups and Facebooks. It's there for some people. Some of it's out in the open as well, John. I enjoy watching them as they're mostly car meets. People show off their toys, but lots of places where people have rules that stops races, but the organisers can't be everywhere. And that's why you probably get the street racing. Okay, so that's a little different. Obviously, street racings are very different than people meeting up to show off their cars. AJ Manchester says high-powered cars can be hired illegally and then raced in South Manchester, and there have been fatalities. This other one, the Bucks Countryside, it happens here. Another one says, yes, the A13 heading out of London. Kevin in Leicester says, yes, I've seen many instances of this as well. And as I say, it's everywhere. Adrian in Mansfield says, I returned to Mansfield with my family via junction 27 of the M1 late one night just before Christmas. We find ourselves basically in a scene from Fast and Furious. There was a crowd of over 1,000 people packing the roads with cars, racing a figure of eight circuit from the motorway exit. Street racing certainly happens around here. Very scurry if you end up in the middle of it. Peely's a long-time listener. He's a long-time COVID listener from Middlesbrough. He says Stockton on Tees in the north every week, Greenford in the south. He says they're idiots, man. He says, how to stop? I know. He says loads of things, permanent driving bans and huge fans and whatever. I suppose, John, ultimately, it's got to have the man power, the woman power, the police power to police it first. Are you there, John? Have we lost John? John's gone. We'll see if we can get John back at some stage. I won't be short of things to say due to the amount of texts that we have flying in on this and all the different places. This street racing is happening and loads more coming in as we go. So most of those have been reading out at the moment have been England. I think they've all been England, haven't they? Adrian in Forest Gate says street racing certainly happens around here. And I think I even know the circuit. So people are actually quoting areas and saying it just is here. It's the same course. And it's not just an English thing. We're getting them from everywhere. Kath Martin in Scotland says, with regard to these boy racers in the souped-up cars, I'm sorry, but they do such harm. A friend of ours was killed in a car, head-on by a car racing another. They should not be allowed. A campaign by her husband means that the road now has speed cameras. Kath, thanks for sharing that. But ultimately, that devastation has already been caused by two people thinking that the road is there for them to act out some sort of idiot fantasy. John in Aberdeen says, twice a week it happens on the A92 next to me. The loud exhaust at all hours of the day. I think we have John back. John Scrooby, I was just saying, you know, we could say this is the deterrent, that is the deterrent, but ultimately it comes down to police power. You need to have the boots, you need to have the people to police something as this. And it seems to be happening everywhere.
Yeah, you do need to have the boots on the ground, and unfortunately, you know, consecutive governments and what have you, have reduced traffic policing. Mm. I mean, when I was serving for the last 2 years, we reduced by 50% of staff in traffic policing. And these are dedicated road policing officers that know exactly what they're doing. They know exactly what they're looking for. Organised meets, don't have a problem with those. We will go, we will interact. And until something goes wrong, so somebody starts showing off, we're quite happy for those, you know, the meets to go ahead. It's the illegal meets that are organised through social media, through WhatsApp groups and whatever. It's impossible to police them. I remember an incident in my old force in South Yorkshire only last week where the officers were called to a collision, and they turned up, there were 120 modified cars. you can't possibly police that sort of occasion, if you like, with less police officers.
It is as simple as that. So I mean, we get into a fairly well-trodden conversation, which is a bit of wishful thinking, which is a whole load of young lads are going to wise up, and that is a bit of a pipe dream, John, isn't it?
Well, the thing, I mean, take for example, my 40-year-old grandson, he's 15 now, but when he was 14, he decided he wanted to go into motorsport. We took him to a team down in Cambridge. They taught him to drive in 4 hours. 4 weeks later, he was on the starting lineup at Silverstone in the Junior Saloon Car Championships. There's a time, there's a place for it. If you want to go racing and get to an organised, controlled event, and go and do it, you will become a better person, a better driver for doing it.
Yeah. It's absolutely true. Sorry, you just cut out a little bit there. I'll just let you come back in again there, John. We just lost you for a little bit. As you said, just to pick up what we heard, you make an obvious distinct separation between racing and illegal street racing.
Yes, there are facilities there. There are race days, there are race events, there are track events, there are organised race events for people that want to take it on. Just show some responsibility. I mean, passing your test is great. You've got that freedom. You're not standing at a wet bus stop, you know, waiting to get to where you want to be. But with that licence comes responsibility, and your responsibility is to everybody else. And you learn to pass a day an exam. That's all you're doing. Once you have passed your test, that's when you learn to drive.
Yeah, that's true. But these are just to go back to, you know, the reason for the conversation is this people driving home in all weathers, in 30-mile-an-hour zones. And if anyone hasn't experienced this, it's happened to me several times. The first time's very scary because you used to only police cars going past at that type of speed. And you know, you get a warning of that, and that's not what it is. And any time I've seen it, I mean, it's the way they drive. It's an intentional danger as well. It's not like you're an inconvenience when you're there, John. These illegal street races, you're part of the entertainment if you're going along. They'll be right up your bumper. They'll slingshot out from behind your car.
Yeah, it happens to every single one of us. We had, I don't want to speak for South Yorkshire, but we had a situation in Barnsley, again, sort of late 90s, where we found road markings for a start and finish line on an illegal racetrack on dual carriageways. There's a long stretch of road there, dual carriageway roundabout. And people were organising street races up and down this road.
Yeah.
And it's not acceptable.
No. And if the, as you say, the resources aren't there, the ability isn't there to send warnings out, the taking away of licences, the fines, maybe even more, it is endangering life. Then there's no incentive to stop. And again, as I say, John, really hear this. I mean, we've just gone up and down the whole nation here. Jazz in Dorset, I don't think we've been to Dorset yet, have we? He said, yeah, we've got it. Fast cars, drivers just last weekend in Bridgeport, local car park as well, speedy U-turns. He says the bill, I love that, any slang terms, the bill come along, caution the lads only. It's a private land that, or so I'm told, so they only get a warning anyway. And he said the cars are all souped up. Colin, I've had to report the racers again to the police tonight, says this anonymous message. They're racing around our local car park at the moment, the big Tesco. And he says they're also doing this thing where one of them is hanging onto the bonnet of the car, and the game is that you have to try and fling them off it as you drive around the car park. But that's ludicrous, John.
It's absolutely barmy. It really is. But these places, retail parks, car parks, they are public roads.
Yeah.
As long as the public have access to them,
yeah,
then the laws of the road apply. And maybe it's because we've got inexperienced officers actually going out to these scenes or whatever. Certainly in my time, if we'd have gone at something like that, then, you know, there would have been far more prosecutions.
Yeah. This is a really important point, I think. This message says, look, excuse me, Magnus, I don't know what a VOSA operation is. V-O-S-A? John?
Yeah. VOSA are the they're responsible for construction and use offences.
Okay, so
the vehicle's modified. Because, again, a lot of the youngsters don't realise that once they modify their vehicle, they have to inform their insurers that they've modified it.
Yeah.
Even if it's just an exhaust they've modified.
If that
vehicle is involved in a collision, then that insurance company is not going to pay out.
I think they might be on that. But this message says, look, it's in Leyland. When we do something about it, they move to Chorley and then they come back. A couple of weeks later, Kate's in Hove and she says Brighton Seafront all the time along Madeira Drive. It's not even an anecdotal list anymore. We could probably draw a line from Land's End to John of Groats and beyond from all these messages that we're getting. This another one is from Hampshire, who says they're just morons. Listen, we're all young ones, but it's hard to disagree with it, because it's just, I mean, we all have that moment where the first person in a friendship group gets a car and they're the coolest cat ever, and they might even have the spoiler on it, whether it was 80s, 90s, and whatever. That this is treating our roads as racetracks. They aren't racers.
Yeah.
These aren't racetracks. And this isn't a film. That's the bottom line, John, and people are dying.
It's reality. It is not fiction. And like I said, you don't have that reset button on your steering wheel.
Yeah.
And, as I said, I spent many years speaking to younger drivers and also passengers, particularly young girls. And we got some feedback from two girls in Doncaster. We actually said, look, if you're in that situation and you find yourself in a vehicle that's being driven inappropriately or at high speed and you don't feel comfortable, the one way to get out of it is to tell them, if you don't slow down, I'm going to be sick.
Yeah.
And two girls came back from us in Doncaster and said, that basically saved our lives.
Yeah.
Because we said we're going to be sick. Yeah. Nobody was got their pride and joy, their shiny new car. Once a week by the morning to be cleaning sick after the football.
It's true. It's terrible that that's what you need to say. It really is, but yeah it's effective. The thing is, we're all young and we're all foolish. And when we're young, we're attracted to danger. But this is absolute lunacy. And based on the messages that we've had tonight, it is absolutely everywhere. That is the worst suspicion confirmed. Yeah. We got to get this news now, John, but I want to say thank you so much, because there wasn't a specific conversation. It wasn't like we said, yeah, this is why we're talking about it tonight or anything. So thank you for going along with us, listening to the audience and adding your insight. Thank you, John.